I think one of the major trends that is going to shape both our personal finances and the economy is the aging of the population, the realization that most of us can't save enough money to have a decent standard of living in retirement. And, you know, and that has nothing to do with a lack of will. It doesn't mean that people are going off to the mall and they just can't control their credit card. Life is expensive. Plus, we've had what? Two bear markets and two recessions in less than a decade. And so what people are realizing is they're going to have to work longer. And the thing is, what does that really mean? What does working longer mean for an aging population? What kind of job opportunities are going to be there? What kind of job opportunities would people like to create? And then as those job opportunities are explored, and as an older generation realizes, okay, we are going to be working well into the traditional retirement years, what does that mean for how a younger generation approaches its jobs and careers? That if you realize, hey, you know what? I might be working till I'm 70. What does that mean? Maybe I can have multiple careers. Maybe sometimes I'm going to work hard, sometimes less hard. So I think this is one of the major economic and personal changes that's running throughout our society.
Will we see more entrepreneurial, self-created jobs?
You know, you're absolutely right. And one of the, you know, striking statistics that's out there, you know, when you think about entrepreneurship for slightly older generation, you know, Bill Gates and the late Steve Jobs, you know, they were young and they started this whole personal computer revolution. And now we have Jack Dorsey of Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. And so it's youth and entrepreneurship are synonymous. But when you look at the numbers, about a quarter of all small businesses are created by the age group 55 to 64. Isn't that really striking? And so I do think that we are going to see a genuine revival in entrepreneurship among an aging population. And part of it is for a negative reason, part is for a positive reason. The negative reason is you've lost your job when you're 55. You know, it's really hard to get another job. Employers just aren't racing out there right now to hire the 55, the 56, the 57-year-olds. But you're still young. You're educated. You still have your health. You still want to be engaged. And so you think, well, maybe it's time to put out my own shingle or really put out my own website, right? The other is more positive is that people who start their own businesses, all the surveys we have, they're happier. They enjoy themselves more. And the life of the self-employed sort of fits more with an aging population that may want to work a lot, but not quite as hard as they were working for the boss.
I want to move to another subject. Banks are beginning to loosen credit for housing. Is that a good thing in your mind?
It's a very good thing. I am skeptical that we're going to go back to the kind of borrowing that we saw in, you know, the 2000s before we had the credit crunch and the crash in the market and decline in the housing market. Yes, I think it's basically a healthy thing. I think that despite you and I can probably pick out some examples where we go, are they really making that kind of a loan again? I thought they were going to do that. But by and large, the banking system is more conservative. The regulators are more conservative. And overall, I think people are more conservative with their money. So this is helping out the housing market. Housing market will help strengthen the economy. You do want to have a well-functioning credit system. What you don't want is people borrowing way more than they can afford, and you don't want the banks to be lending to them way more than they can afford. And I'm skeptical that we're going to go back to that kind of a world anytime soon. Now, there will come a time, you know, as memories fade and a different generation comes along and the bankers will say, well, we learned our lesson. We won't do that again. And we may have another crazy period of time. But it's very hard to come up with a scenario where banks are going to lend too much over the next 5 to 10 years.
Something I saw catch, it seemed like it caught on a lot during the economic downturn, was getting rid of debt. I really saw that and could hear that through Dave Ramsey, who kind of has done well with a radio show and books and everything.
Yes.
And he really just said pretty much, other than a 15-year mortgage, all debt is bad. Was he effective at helping people in this? And is that a philosophy you agree with at all?
You know, I think he was very effective. And I think that he really does help out people. And when you look at it, at his advice. And you can have, you know, he and I would disagree on certain things, but basically he has a very good message, which is, look, save, invest, don't borrow too much, and that you have a lot of freedom. And you can't control the business cycle. You can't control whether you're going to have a job. You can't control whether the stock market is going to be up or down. But what you can control is how much you save and how much you borrow. So I think basically he has had a good message. He reached out to a lot of people. He has helped out a lot of people. And by and large, I think we have become a thriftier, more frugal society. Now, we are not ever going to enter into a world where the only debt the average American is going to have is a 15-year mortgage. That I'm skeptical that that's going to happen, particularly as the housing market revives. But what I do think we're going to move away from is take a look where we really had trouble in the 2000s. It wasn't that first mortgage. It wasn't the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage that caused the problem. It was the home equity loan on top of that mortgage. And so I think people are going to borrow less on their home equity and going to move away from that, and they're going to continue to do the mortgage. So we're going to borrow. It's the way our society is built around, but we are going to borrow less. And more fundamentally, I think we're going to buy more less things and spend more money on experiences, you know, spirituality, a vacation, family time. And really, you know, more and more people are thinking about, do I really want to buy that thing? And do I really want to borrow to own that thing? And I think more people are saying no.
You've been concerned about the rate of savings. And yes. and you mentioned the baby boomers might not be saving enough in investment, but let alone a lot of people may be lacking kind of what you would consider a basic emergency fund. You had a proposal, or you have an idea that you espouse, that you think the U.S. Postal Service should be taking a role in helping people establish some savings.
That's right. So if you look at Japan and Germany, you know, a lot of the countries around the world, the Postal Service is part of the savings system. And, you know, when we talk about savings, you know, so often we say you have to do a better job. You have to exercise discipline. And yes, of course we do. But institutions matter. So let's make it really easy for people to save. And the Postal Service is everywhere. And it would help shore up the Postal Service, which is everywhere. And one of the things, like in Germany, that I really admire what they do. So in Germany, if you're a young person and you are saving, you get paid a higher interest rate on your savings than an older person. And the theory is you want to encourage young people to develop the habit of savings. I think that's a very smart idea. This is through their Postal Service. You know, why can't we be doing that here? You know, the thing about savings is that you want institutions to help people save more, to do the right thing, to make it convenient, to make it easy. So, you know, when you're at Walmart and you're there at the checkout, you know, maybe the checkout person should say, hey, by the way, would you like to put some of your money into savings right now, right before you pay your bill? Hey, maybe. I mean, we want savings to become part of our discussion. We want savings to be made easy. And I think the Postal Service, it would help shore up the Postal Service, and it would make it really convenient. And it's nothing particularly radical, because it's actually done in a lot of places of the world.
When you're in Springfield next week, you'll be talking about college and education in a couple of different ways at a couple of different remarks. But one area of discussion that you have seen is that there's more and more topic out, people talking about, well, is a college education worth it?
That's right. And this is one of those strands of commentary that's out there. Peter Thiel is probably the most famous proponent that college education is not worth it. And he's a you know, legendary investor, PayPal, Facebook. And, you know, he set up a fund where you apply for an entrepreneurship. I believe it's like $100,000, and you don't go to college. You start your own business. Now, the thing is, if you actually look at the people who qualify for this entrepreneurship scholarship, they would be admitted to any college in the United States. So they have no downside risk. Why wouldn't you start your own company? If it doesn't work out, then you go on to college. But the thing is, who really, I mean, seriously, who really turns to their 17-year-old daughter and says, I don't want you to go to college? I don't want you to go to college. I don't think it's worth it. I think what the story is, you should go to college. Everything we know about college is that in terms of your material returns over a lifetime and in terms of your social and intellectual returns over a lifetime, it's worth it. So here's the issue. Go to college, but borrow as little as possible. I don't know where this idea came about. I'm not convinced very many people held it. But it is not true that you can borrow as much as you want and a college education will pay off that debt. That is not true. You can borrow too much and you don't want to. Go to college, but borrow as little as possible. And that may mean you don't go to your number one choice, your number two choice. It may mean you go to your number five choice. I don't know. But go to college, get a good education, because college degree, some form of post-secondary education, and by the way, that's for a certificate from a community college, an associate's degree from a community college, a BA from a college, but some form of post-secondary education has become the necessary but not sufficient condition, you know, the famous philosopher's phrase, the necessary but not sufficient condition for the entry into the kind of job that provides healthcare benefits, retirement benefits, and the possibility of a career or multiple careers over a lifetime.